Hi there, welcome to this special YouTube video. Today I'm doing a special teaching titled What Nobody Tells You About Sex. Sex is a very interesting topic. Everybody is kind of interested in it. However, very few people talk about it. Or let me say, very few people talk rightly about it. Most of us grew up in homes where our parents were too shy to talk to us about this. So I'm really hoping this will help a lot of young people. That is actually my target. So I hope that this will help a lot of young people. Our parents were either too shy to talk about this, you know, just avoided the topic. And then our mates were too ignorant to also teach us anything right about this. So they mostly gave us what they learned from movies or just did guesswork. So I just felt the need to bring, you know, the right perspective about sex. You know, so that's why we're calling this What Nobody Tells You About Sex. It's also taken from my book titled What Nobody Tells You About Sex. Okay, but before I start, I need to do a disclaimer. Number one, most of what I'm sharing is not from a place of judgment. I need you to understand that. It's not from a place of judgment. I understand that many people find it hard to ask questions about sex because of fear of being judged. All right? So I understand that. So some things I might say might appear hard even at some point, but I need you to understand that it's not from a place of judgment. I'm not even a perfect person at all. I had a crazy young life, like most young people. You know, got into pornography very early, got into masturbation, got into prostitute patronizing, you know, at a very young age, as teenagers. So we went into all those kind of things. So I'm speaking more from the perspective of somebody that is experienced, you know, that has seen some of the challenges of wrong sexual orientation. So I'm not speaking from a place of judgment at all. I'm not speaking from a place or like a person that is perfect at all. As a matter of fact, I'm speaking from somebody that has experienced, you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly parts of sex. And even as a married person, I still face challenges, you know, dealing with it, because marriage doesn't stop you from facing the issues relating to sex. So I hope this really helps someone, all right? So that's the first thing. It's not from a place of judgment. In our country today, there have been recent cases of rape, molestation, and all that. And as much as we are trying to stop that and campaigning about that, I'm also a bit bothered because many of the people dealing with, you know, these kinds of lifestyles don't have anywhere they can seek help. Or let me say, they don't have a lot of places where they can seek help. So they are forced to hide, you know, their struggles. You know, unfortunately, there are not many places you can go and open up and say, hey, I'm struggling with a desire to rape people, or I'm struggling with uncontrollable sexual urges, or I'm struggling with, you know, infidelity or incest or things like that. You know, people don't share those kind of things. And what we don't realize is that when people don't share their struggles, it means they cannot get help. And when they don't get help, it means we will still keep repeating the same challenges. So we need to create a safe haven for people like this and let them know it's okay to talk about it. We need to create a non-judgmental atmosphere. And unfortunately, as I'm a pastor, even in the churches, we don't have that kind of a safe atmosphere. A lot of people are shy to come to church and say, oh, I'm dealing with this, I'm dealing with infidelity, I'm dealing with sex, because they will be judged. And it's so sad, because a church is supposed to be the place that understands, you know, forgiveness, a place that understands healing. You know, and unfortunately, I can tell you, you know, that most churches don't understand that. Most churches will not give you the right, you know, reaction when you confess to, you know, your struggle. So many people hide and they don't get healing. And it means they go back and keep, you know, offending and keep molesting and keep. We need to make them know that, hey, you're not alone. You can be helped. You know, and you know, it's imagine how crazy it is if a sick person is afraid to go to a hospital. Just picture that a sick person is afraid that if he goes to tell a doctor, you know, I have fever, that he will be judged by the doctors and the nurses. Just picture that. But that is what happens in churches. Most people, you know, will look at you somehow. Most people find it hard to forgive people that are facing these kind of things. And I hope this video helps somebody. I hope this whole campaign helps somebody to know that, look, you are not alone in what you're dealing with. All of us are broken in a certain way. And it is Jesus and love that will help us to heal. So that's the first thing I want to say, that it's not from a place of judgment. I need to know that there's not from a place of judgment. All right. No matter what kind of sexual struggles you are facing, you know, you are not judged. God understands. God is merciful. And we are also willing to provide help to you as much as we can. All right. You need to understand that God is not insensitive. God is not so out of touch with your sexual needs as a human being. So God actually says a lot about sex. God says a lot about sex, you know, and that takes me to my next point, actually. Most of you that are conversant with my teachings, you know that all the things I say are usually based on three major things, all right? We don't just cook up principles or ideologies. It doesn't work that way. Most of the things I will ever say and ever teach are going to be based on three major things, and I'm going to share them in the order of priority or order of importance. Number one, they're usually scripturally based. I choose to use scripture because that represents God's word or God's mind about any issue, the word of God. So I use scripture, all right? Whatever I'm going to share with you, either in this video or even in other teachings you will hear me do, it's usually, number one, based on scriptural principles. Number two, based on scientific facts, all right? Most of the powerful scriptural principles are supported by science. Interestingly, you know, many people have just not connected the dots, but they do, most of them. So if you see it in scripture, most likely there will be scientific facts to also back it up. And the last thing I usually use is statistical facts. All right. So most of those things, you will see them in scripture, see them referenced in science. And by the time you check the statistics amongst people, you'll find out that this thing still goes. So watch out for those three things as we go on. All right. So like I said, God, as I mentioned, scripture, science and statistics. Now, talking about scripture, you need to understand that God is not shy about sex. God actually said a lot of things about sex in the Bible. There are so many things said about sex in the Bible. So we're going to look at that today too as we go on. God gave us the sexual urge. God gave us the sexual ability, you know, and everything God does and everything God gives is perfect, is good. So God is not out of touch. God is not archaic. However, just like every good thing God gives, if you use it wrongly, you know, it becomes a challenge. In fact, that is the meaning of the word abuse. The meaning of the word abuse is abnormal use. And that is what many people are doing. And sexual abuse is not only when I harm somebody. Sometimes the sexual abuse, the abnormal use of sex, harms me, the person. So I have 10 points to give you, all right? I have 10 points to give you. Then in the next video we'll talk about how to get healing and how to move forward if you're dealing with sexual struggles. So, but this one, 10 points on what nobody tells you about sex. What nobody tells you about sex, number one, is it's not just sex. It's not just sex. Nobody tells you that. People just try to tell you, oh, it's just sex. There's no big deal. That is just sex. My point here is that it's not just sex. It's never just sex. In other words, sex is bigger than just a physical connection. Many people, from when you're young, you will hear people say that. That is just sex. There's nothing to it. And there's such a campaign out there, you know, both from movies, from media, from music. Everybody's trying to give the image and the idea that it's just sex. There's no big deal. And I'm here to tell you that the first thing they don't tell you about sex is that it's not just sex. It's not just sex. There's more to sex than just physical contact. I want to read the scripture to you. Let's start from there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16, the Message translation of the Bible. It says, there's more to sex than mere skin to skin. I hope you're seeing that. It said, there's more to sex than mere skin to skin. It says, sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. It said, as is written in scripture, the two become one. It's a sex is much spiritual mystery, as much spiritual mystery as it is a physical fact. Now, nobody tells you that. Everybody just tells you, oh, it's mere skin to skin. Everybody tells you just a physical fact. However, this Bible is saying us that there's a spiritual mystery to it. And what does that mean? What the Bible is trying to say is this, that whenever you have sex with someone, beyond the physical connection, there is a spiritual and an emotional, or you can say soul, connection. Every time two individuals have sexual intercourse, it is more than a physical connection. I mean, that's a big deal. Many young people don't know this. Many young people don't remember this. They just think, oh, well, it's just physical contact. Oh, I can just have a one-night stand, or I can just have a fling. I can just sleep with this guy. No, every time you sleep with someone, it is not just a physical fact, it's also a spiritual mystery. In other words, sex with another human being is the joining, not just of two bodies, but it's the joining of two spirits and the joining of two souls. I mean, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Let me read it in NIV translation for you. He said, do you know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? He said, for it is said, the two will become one flesh. Now, that phrase, the two become one flesh, if you are conversant with the Bible, you remember that it was used exactly in Genesis chapter 2. And it was used to refer to marriage. In other words, what God was trying to say from Genesis chapter 2 compared to this one is basically saying that the real joining in marriage between two people is not the wedding ceremony. Just as the name implies, the wedding is a ceremony. It's not the main joining. The real joining between a man and a woman, it is that sexual intercourse. It's not the ring that makes us married. It is that sexual intercourse that actually initiates the bonding of two people as they become one. In fact, the phrase one flesh is not just talking about flesh. You know, some people thought, oh, it's just talking about flesh. No, that phrase, one flesh, is a covenant term that means one person. All right? That was what they're trying to say. That the two of them become one person. It means there is a joining taking place when a man and a woman have sex together. There's a joining taking place that nothing else can compare to. And unfortunately for many people, as they join together, they begin to find out that they are joining permanently with someone that they don't want to be permanently with. And that becomes a challenge. Sex is not just mere skin to skin. It's as much spiritual mystery as it is a physical fact. All right? So you join together. It's what some people call soul ties. You and someone joins together sexually, and the bond now begins to build emotionally, and also begins to build spiritually, and also begins to build mentally. And just like when you join anything together, in fact, let me say it this way, it's like those stickets. If you have seen the sticky paper that has some adhesive at some point of it, where you can, they're usually yellow, but now they have many colors, so you can stick it and, you know, remind yourself of something, you know. When you see those things, there's an adhesive part of it. So picture or any sticker, picture you stick it somewhere, and after a while you remove it. Then you stick it somewhere, after a while you remove it. You know, after a while, parts of that sticker will be at different points, and wherever you eventually want to leave it permanently, it becomes weak. I like the way somebody described it. They say it's like taking a yellow sticker or yellow paper and a red paper, and you stick them together and they join, and now you rip them apart again. He said some parts of the yellow one will be on the red one, some parts of the red one will be on the yellow one. And imagine now you stick it again to another, to blue, you know, then you stick it again to green. So after a while, that person's soul will be littered with different colors. So even when they finally find where they want to finally rest, they are so affected, so impacted by the different colors, they are not able to connect as deeply as they can to, you know, the right person they want to connect to. So it is such an amazing mystery. Nobody talks about it enough. We just try to paint the picture like sex is just free, it's mere skin to skin, there's nothing, no impact. That is not true. That is not true. There's more to sex than mere skin to skin. It's as much, you know, a spiritual mystery as it is a physical fact. It joins two people together. That is the bonding agent. It joins two people together. You need to understand that. It actually causes what they call soul ties, like I said. And a lot of people, even after they've been married for years, they still find themselves dealing with things, either attitudes, impacts, imprints. I'll get to all this as we go. You know, from their exes. They are still dealing with things coming from their past because of the kind of joining they experienced all through their life. Now they are with their husband or their wife and they can't connect fully. Now, let's move a bit to science. You know, all this I've been saying has been scriptural facts, okay? Let's move a bit to science. Interestingly, scientists have found out that when you have a deep connection with somebody, especially sexually, that forever your brain still reacts to that person forever. They found out, and all this is research, definitely. Check online, you'll see many of those studies, okay? They've researched, and they were able to study the brains of people. When the names of their exes were mentioned, they still reacted exactly the same way like the person was there. Their brain reacted that way. You know why? Because all the while they've been having intercourse with this person, there have been what they call neural pathways created in their brains that opens up to this person, that reacts to this person. So whenever they think about this person or hear from this person, or even meet this person, their whole brain, which also means their whole body, still reacts to this person in their life. And it's scientific. It has been proven. That is true. In fact, they said that when you have this kind of relationship with somebody like that in your past, that chemical called vasopressin and one called oxytocin, that those chemicals are released in your brain. So even when the person is no longer in your life, when you remember the person or meet the person or hear from the person, these chemicals are released again. Basically, your brain still reacts. In fact, some people said it's compared to the kind of connection between a baby and a mother. That is how it is. It is a connection that is literally there forever. Now, these are scientific facts. They say that there are neural pathways that are connecting you that are always open to that person. So what am I saying? This thing is serious. Every time you have intercourse, there's a part of you in that person. There's a part of that person in you. I watched a documentary on TV. It was a real-life story of somebody that committed murder. He killed somebody else, and he drove the person's car because he wanted to, you know, keep the car away from where the murder happened. So he took the car somewhere, parked the car there, and came down from that car and went to his house. Do you know how they caught this guy? They brought dogs days after. They brought dogs when they found the car. Dogs smelled the car. They got the scent of the person that was in the car. And the dogs led them from that point where the car was parked to the person's house. That's how they connected that guy to that crime, to that murder, by smell. In other words, just by sitting in that place, in that car, parts of him were left in that car. Parts of him were actually in the atmosphere for days. How much more when you have intercourse with someone? There are parts of you, there are fluids flowing from your body. There are parts of you deposited in that person. And scientifically, they've said it can also last for days also. That's physically, but emotionally, it literally lasts, or mentally, it lasts forever. All right, these are scientific facts. Statistical facts. A lot of trouble or challenges or dissatisfaction or infidelity married couples face, a lot of it is tied to their ex. So you will hear people that said, oh, I've married for some time, but I cheated with my ex. In fact, I've seen people that, you know, one day before the wedding or sometimes wedding night or sometimes 1 week after the wedding, they are still in touch with their ex, telling their ex, I miss you. As in, one day before the wedding, some wedding night, some 1 week after the wedding. In other words, you know, they are with somebody else physically, but they are still with their ex emotionally, because people underestimate the place of soul ties. Your soul doesn't depart easily. The Bible says something. It said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. People think that's the same statement. No, it's not the same. There are two different things there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, he's saying, I won't leave you physically. I won't also forsake you emotionally. So it's possible to leave somebody physically and still not forsake them. That means you are still connected to them. But it's possible to be with somebody physically. That means you've not left them, but you have also forsaken them already emotionally. There are many married couples like that. So this man or this woman is living in a house with their husband or wife physically, but emotionally, they are disconnected with their spouse. They are somewhere else. You need to understand that, guys. So these things are proven scripturally. They are proven scientifically. They are also proven statistically. That there's more to sex than mere skin to skin. There's more to sex than mere skin to skin. It is as much a spiritual mystery as it is a physical fact. God didn't just create sex for pleasure, even though it's pleasurable. But that's not the main thing. It's supposed to be the official joining of a man and a woman in marriage. That's why anything outside of that is abuse of it. Anything outside of that will be counterproductive on the long run. It's a joining of two people, man and woman. In a better way, husband and wife. Point number two says, all sex is bad if it's outside marriage. All sex is bad if it's outside marriage. Of course, sex is good. However, if sex is outside marriage, it's bad. All, very important, all sex is bad if it's outside marriage. We live in a world where almost everybody agrees adultery is bad. I've done those surveys over and over again. I've asked people, do you think it's right for a married person to sleep with somebody they're not married to? Almost everybody believes it's bad. However, the challenge is that almost every other person also believes that fornication is okay. That means for, say, a single person to be having sex, they think it's okay. And that's a big deal. Everybody agrees that if you're married, you can't sleep with somebody you're not married with. Everybody, even the worst sinner in the world agrees with that. However, the same people also think or believe that if you're single, you are free to have sex as much as you like. What a joke. That cannot work because the same people that are single are the same people that will become married. In other words, that lifestyle will be there. Marriage doesn't change you. Marriage doesn't change you. And that is the biggest setup that people have been having. Marriage doesn't change you. So many people live anyhow they like when they're single, thinking that once I get married, I will change. But marriage doesn't change you. If you are used to taking something that is not yours, that lifestyle is not just going to disappear. I like the way I normally say it sometimes, that a lizard that is single will not become an alligator when they are married. See, you're going to be the same person. So if you are used to taking something that is not yours, marriage won't solve that. Marriage won't solve that. When you are single and you're having sexual relations with somebody you're not married, even if you're applying to get married, that's not marriage. So once you're having that kind of a relationship, you are building the lifestyle, you are building the habit, you are building the mindset that taking something that is not mine is okay. Now, you will get married and that lifestyle will not change. And this is where a lot of people are stuck in adultery. I've done this job for a while. I've done marriage counseling for a while. And I found out that most times, when you see adultery in a marriage, there is a foundation of fornication. Fornication is when a single person has sex. Adultery is when a married person has sex after their marriage, all right? But they are both sex outside marriage. They are the same thing. They are both sex outside marriage. So we have to stop seeing fornication as okay and seeing adultery as bad. They are both the same thing. They are both the same thing. Let's look at the scripture. Galatians 5, verse 19. You know, the Bible made it clear that it's the same thing. It says here, it says, now the works of the flesh, they were listing what the works of the flesh were. It said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. That means they are these. It says, which are these? It said, number one, adultery. Number two, fornication. They're basically listed together. They are basically listed together. Many people think they are different. They are the same. They are both talking about people having sex outside of their marriage. They are both talking about people having sex outside their marriage. So if you build that lifestyle when you're single, marriage won't change you. And I wish more and more single people can learn this because a lot of them think, oh, we plan to get married. That's not marriage. A lot of those relationships might not lead to marriage. But if you have already done the bonding, you've already had the sex, it's going to affect you by the time you meet the person that you want to marry. And remember that one day, you meet the person you want to marry and you find out that you have messed up a lot of relationships in your life already because of sexual intercourse. That you could have kept clean. You could have kept those relationships clean. It helps the breakup to be clean when there's no sex involved. In my first point, I talked about the fact that how there's attachment and bonding. In fact, scientists say that it's worse. This bonding and attachment is worse when the person was your best, or was your most intimate. I hope you got that. The scientist said that this bonding, like that of a child and a mother, that is worse when the person was your best, when the person was your best, or when the person was your best intimate. So, in other words, ladies that have had sex for the first time with somebody, they find out that the attachment to that person is stronger. And I've handled a lot of these cases in counseling, where this person is a grown woman now, but is still attached to the first person they slept with. And maybe they thought it was a relationship then. They were young teenagers or something, or even young adults, and they felt, oh, we're in love. Wait till you marry. Being in love is not enough. Wait till you marry. So they thought they were in love, and by the time they marry, I mean, by the time they are dating, they now have sex, and they later do not marry. And you find out that this guy, or sometimes this lady, is attached to this person. Is attached to this person years after. All right? Very, very important. So watch out for that. So you need to understand if you're not married, you're not married. Don't assume that a fornicator will be changed when he's married. No. I usually say that every fornicator is an adulterer in training. Every fornicator is an adulterer in training. So scientifically and statistically, it has been proven that for over 90% of cases where there's adultery in the marriage, if you check it, there's a foundation of fornication. There was a foundation of taking what is not mine. A foundation of saying, hey, we don't have to honor any boundaries. We don't have to honor any rules. It's important you keep yourself till you get married. Because one day, you are going to regret joining yourself with people that you are not yet married to. Because not all those relationships, until you are married, you are not married. Even if it's 2 days to your wedding, don't sleep with anybody you're not married with. Don't do it. 2 days. Because some relationships have broken even when on the wedding day. And it didn't lead to marriage. So just hold on. Hold on. You have your whole life. You have your whole life to sleep with this person. There is no rush. There is no rush. You have your whole life to sleep with this person. There is no rush. So all sex outside marriage is bad. All sex, as long as it's outside marriage, it is bad. Whether it's fornication or adultery. Everybody understands adultery is bad, but we are kind of okay with fornication. It's a setup. We are setting up many married people to go and fail in marriage by telling them it's okay to have sex before marriage. Because when they get into marriage, they find out the self-control doesn't just appear. It doesn't just appear. It's a lifestyle you build. As a matter of fact, you build that lifestyle when you are single. The self-control you build when you are single is the self-control you use when you are married. The self-control you build when you are single is the self-control you use when you are married. It's the same one. So you have to build it ahead. You have to build it ahead. All right? So any sex outside of marriage is bad. It's the same people that are single are the same ones, you know, going to become married. The same people that are single are the same ones going to become married. And a lot of people have messed up powerful relationships. You know, breakups are tougher when sex has been involved. I mean, all breakups are hard, but it's easier when it's just a clean break. Hey, I'm sorry, this relationship can't work anymore, and there has been no sex involved, we can move on. But once sex has been involved, everybody finds out that the breakup becomes more difficult. In fact, you see some people saying, after all I gave to you, after having sex with you, because they know that they've crossed certain lines in what they were given. So you need to understand that. It will affect. You need to understand that. It will definitely affect. So all sex outside of marriage is sin. Whether it's fornication or adultery, they are both the same. Everybody crucifies the person committing adultery. We need to start paying attention to the person committing fornication because that's where he's going to end up. All right? So that's point number two. For the third point, point number three, what nobody tells you about sex is that it's not just once. It's not just once. Many people, when they want to venture into this thing called sex, at their first time or the first few times, they always make them the promise, oh, it's going to be just once. It's going to be just once. Well, truthfully, it is hardly ever once. Once you cross this line of having sex, it's a whole new world after that. Many young people always ask me, you know, many young people ask me that, oh, I'm a virgin. My friends are pressuring me, or my boyfriend is pressuring me, and all that. You need to realize that if you're a virgin, for instance, it takes only 1 minute for you to cross that line and not be a virgin anymore. But what you need to realize is that once you cross that line, you cannot cross back and be a virgin again. So most of your friends that have lost their virginities, they are trying to put you under pressure. You don't envy them. They are at a place you can join any day you want. But you are at a place that they can never join, no matter how much they try. So you are the one that should be envied, not them. You are the one that should be feeling proud, not them. So make sure you never let anybody pressure you to cross that line. Once you cross that line, it's never as it seems. It can never be once. Everyone that is addicted to drugs today just tried it just once. Everyone addicted to smoking, to drinking, they all tried it once. That is one of the biggest lies the devil tells people. That it's going to be once. It's never once. It's never once. Remember, those people are at a place you can cross in one day. You can move and join them amongst people that are having sex, but they can never cross back to where you are. So that's why systematically, for them to feel good with themselves, they need more and more people to cross to join them. Stay where you are. Keep yourself. And even if you have done it before, you can stop it from now. Because it never just stops with once. It never stops with once. Sexual addiction is a big deal. Many people actually feel that, sex is something very easy to control. Yes, I agree. Some people look like they have a better control of it. But many other people are going through difficulty managing. Many other people are struggling. Many other people have what they call sexual addictions. That's why we are still dealing with issues of rape today, molestation, pedophilia, things like that. Why? Somebody somewhere cannot control his sexual urge. Somebody somewhere cannot control it. Sexual addiction is a big deal. It's clinically confirmed today that some people are addicted to sex. Just like some people are addicted to drugs, some are addicted to alcohol, some are addicted to nicotine, some people are addicted to sex. And unfortunately, we live in a world where they can't even come out to get help because they'll be judged both by the society and even by the church. They can't get help. There is such a thing as sexual addiction. It's real. And you see, for you to become sexually addicted, you have to start with one time. No, I mean, all drug dealers, everybody starts one time. For you to become a sexual addict, it starts with that one time. So if you can stop that one time, you can stop the addiction. But it's that one time. Everybody. I used to be a chain smoker, before I became born again. I used to be a chain smoker, And I remember all of us started, we didn't even start with a full stick of cigarette. We started with the butt of cigarette that people smoked and dropped. That's where we all started. Just once before we became addicts. So it's never just once. It always goes again and again and again. The devil will just move you every time, 1 inch at a time, till you get to where he wants you to get for the slaughter. So don't even start it. It's never just once. Sexual addiction is real. And scientifically, I told you I would tell everything scripturally and scientifically and statistically. Scientifically, they found out that the pleasures of sex, the pleasure you feel during sex, can be as high as that of drugs. They said scientifically, the chemicals that are released, one is called opiates, one is called dopamine. They are both linked to drugs, dope and opium. They are both linked to, the chemicals that are released in the brain when people take drugs. In other words, just the way people can get become drug addicts, that's how people can become sex addicts. And these two things are powerful because of what they do to your brain. Do you know most drug dealers don't take drugs? Do you know that one of the rules of being a good drug dealer is that you can't take drugs because the people selling it know how powerful it is. So that's how sex too is, almost at the same level with the chemicals it releases in your brains. So sexual addiction is real. So sometimes it's just that one step. Don't do it that one time. If you're watching me for any reason and you're a virgin, keep your virginity till you get married. That bonding, there's nothing like it with your husband and your wife. Don't let anybody pressure you. Even if you are planning to get married, that's not marriage. Wait till you are married. Don't lay a foundation, that you don't want to build on. Don't lay a foundation of taking what's not your own. A foundation of lack of self-control, a foundation of impatience, a foundation of lack of boundaries. Don't lay that foundation because that's the foundation you build on in your marriage. You can't build on lack of self-control before marriage and want to build on self-control in marriage. You can't build on lack of boundaries before marriage and build on boundaries in marriage. It doesn't work like that. This is something nobody tells you about sex, that sexual addiction is real. And interestingly, there are many human beings dealing with it today. Many. Those are the people that rape children because they can't control it. And you see, some people are saying, on the surface, people just say, oh, how can you, rape a child? How can you do this? How can you sexually assault this person? How can you, that be responsible for your own actions? You see, when you say that, it's obvious you've not dealt with drug addicts before. If you have dealt with drug addicts before, you understand that no matter what they say when they are sane, when the pressure of this addiction comes, it's a different ballgame. They will sell their own children. They will sell their own children to take drugs. It's a different ballgame. If you have never been addicted before, you probably don't understand what I'm talking about. But those of you that have dealt with any kind of addiction, you understand what I'm talking about. It's beyond pep talk. It's beyond encouragement. Once the pressure That's why if you notice, when they want to help people, like they even put them in rehab, it's a big problem. It's not you must be a good person. It's not about that. It's not about that. When they pressure that addiction, it becomes a real issue. So is that, or it's never just once. It's never just once. Be careful of just that one time. All right? And people dealing with sexual addiction sometimes it's even not about the sex. It's usually a pointer to deeper problems that they're facing. It might be self-esteem issues. It might be abuse that they have faced. You know, it might be different things that they have had to deal with that is just manifesting sexually. So if you are here watching and you feel you have that kind of an issue, please seek help. Look for where you will not be judged and where you'll be helped. You know, seek help, and that will help you, you know, turn and overcome this challenge. So sometimes when people are dealing with sexual addiction, like I said, it's a sign of a deeper problem. Some even have rejection issues, have daddy issues. Maybe they didn't have a good relationship with their fathers. So they are seeking for love in all the wrong places, and it has given birth to that addictive behavior, that compulsive behavior. Some it was that they were abused when they were young. I had a friend that works with prostitutes, and he has worked with them for years. And I asked him one day, I said, what's the one common thing all prostitutes have in common? He said, most of them have been molested sexually. Most of them have molested. So sometimes that triggers off the addiction. I'm just saying that because you need to understand that sexual addiction is a broad thing on its own. And if you are watching and you need help, please get help. If you're watching me for any reason and you're a virgin, keep your virginity till you get married. That bonding, there's nothing like it with your husband and your wife. Don't let anybody pressure you. Even if you are planning to get married, that's not marriage. Wait till you are married. Don't lay a foundation, you know, that you don't want to build on. Don't lay a foundation of taking what's not your own. A foundation of lack of self-control, a foundation of impatience, a foundation of lack of boundaries. Don't lay that foundation, because that's the foundation you build on in your marriage. You can't build on lack of self-control before marriage and want to build on self-control in marriage. You can't build on lack of boundaries before marriage and build on